We don't know what he looked like, but it's no wonder that Mary was frightened. These strange beings from another realm are described in different ways in different places of the scripture. But in the book of Hebrews, it says that they are flames of fire. So from this emissary of God, messenger, that's what the word angel means, comes the word to Mary, and he has to say to her, "Do not fear." This was a terrifying moment. This is no sweet, sugary children's Sunday school Christmas play. This is a moment of terror, because there is Gabriel giving a message that she cannot possibly understand. And so she falls down in fear and is greatly troubled, the scripture says, by the message that she received. And more terrifying than the messenger is the message itself. As the angel tells her, a virgin, that she shall conceive and bear a son, and that this son will be the heir of the throne of David, and that he will be called the Son of God and Son of the Most High. What a frightening responsibility. But to her everlasting credit, in deep humility, Mary simply says, "I am your servant. Let it be as you have spoken to me." Well, there's so much in that passage that we can never unpack in one short message. So we're going to focus on one verse, verse 31, where the angel said, "You shall conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus." Or in many translations, it uses the word name. "You shall call his name Jesus." Well, what's in a name, after all? Well, today, sometimes much and sometimes not so much. When your parents chose that name for you, perhaps they picked it because it was a nice-sounding name. And I suppose, why not? If you're going to wear a tag around your neck for the rest of your life, it might as well be a pretty one. And we chose our first daughter's name, Jennifer. I didn't even know what it meant. Just like the sound of it. Or sometimes it's because of a family tradition. You're named in honor of somebody else. My brother's name is Thomas, and he was named after his grandpa's, my grandpa's, our grandpa's name, Thomas. And I don't know, but probably he was named after his dad or grandpa before. Or sometimes today we choose a name for our children because there's some quality about its meaning. It's almost a wish on our behalf that they might emulate the meaning of that name. Well, let's try a few names today. And I'm going to mention a few names. And if this name is your handle, and it may be several people's, I doubt you'll have the courage to raise your hand, because when I ask people to raise their hand, I have to pull teeth almost to get them to do it. So here's what we're going to do. If there's somebody next to you and they have that particular name, just point to them like this. Yentl, are you here, Yentl? There's only one. Yentl is a Yiddish name that means noble. It means aristocratic. Any Stevens here? At least one. Stephen, where are you? Oh, your wife. Oh, four hands are pointing to you. Stephen means crown. Timothy. Any Timothys? No Timothys today. We have no Timothys today. It means honored of God. Michael. Means the one who is like God or God-like. Grace means God's favor. Sally, are you here today? Oh, there you are. It means princess. And so you are. She's blushing. And Alex, your husband's name, means defender of men. Karen means pure. Roscoe, who led us today, it means from the deer forest. Clara, there she is at the back. Clara means pure or bright, as in the word clear. Ken, are you here today? Ken? Okay, there's two Kens here today, one there and there. Ken means handsome. But your wives are looking at you now and saying, I'm not so sure. Neil means champion. I understand it can also mean the word cloud. And this Neil, my friend, is a pilot. And maybe you're a champion of the clouds. Now, what about the name Janice? That's one of my daughters. It means God is gracious. June, it means young. Did you know that? It also means beautiful, gorgeous, lovely. I just threw that in. It's not really there. I've always told you, and I'm going to die young. Now she says it's too late for that. Jennifer, I had no idea my oldest daughter, it meant white wave, as a wave that curls and turns white before it splashes against the shore. And so I tell her, there's another Jennifer here, where are you? All right, somewhere back there. Oh, there she is. No, I don't see her, where is she? Oh, there she is, you are hiding. You are a splash, a white wave. And Jonathan, my son, God's gift, and you are. Now, what should we say about Henry? Kingly. I don't know what to do with the word tricky, my last name. I think it does describe the imp that's within me, and it does mean that, tricky, just that. Well, what does a name mean? Well, like I said, with us, it may mean much, it may mean little, but when we come to the names of God, they mean everything. And there are so many names in the Bible that describe some aspect of God's character. Elohim, the strong one. El Shaddai, God Almighty. El Elyon, the Most High God. El Olam, the Everlasting God. Adonai, Master, Owner. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord my banner. That's the one who fights for us. And there are other names as well. Yahweh Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, that is God of armies, the heavenly angels. And Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Well, what about the name of Jesus? What does it mean to us, and why does it matter? Well, first of all, it tells me who Jesus is and the meaning of his name. This is the name God chose for him. Mary didn't choose it. It's the name we know him best by. It's his earthly name, and it's mentioned 500 times in the four Gospels alone and 900 times in the New Testament. Joshua and the name Jesus are the same name, exactly. In the Hebrew Old Testament, Joshua means the Lord saves. In the Greek New Testament, Jesus, Jesus, means God saves. Same name, precisely. In the Old Testament, you'll remember the time when Moses stood before the burning bush. And as he received his mission to go back to Egypt, he said famously to God, who was there in the consuming fire, he said, "And who shall I say sent me?" In other words, "What's your name, God?" And he revealed the meaning of his name and said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." That's the word that is pronounced Yahweh and is the most common name in the Old Testament for God. Every time you see in the Old Testament, almost in any page, the word Lord spelt with four capitals, not always, but four capitals, that's the holy name of God, Yahweh. And it simply means, it's from the word to be or is. God is the one who simply is. And we hear that echoed in the New Testament when Jesus takes upon that name, and it says in the book of Revelation, "I am Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is and whoever shall be, past, present, and future." God is. Well, Jesus owns that name too, because the name Jesus means Yahweh saves. He is the great I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. Again and again, he is the great I am. And the scripture says, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Who he is? He's God come to earth, representing God. When we see him, we see the character and all that we can know of God. Well, it also tells me this wonderful name, why he came. The name Jesus means God saves, and in Matthew's gospel, he records the same conversation, but adds to it this: "Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And there's a play on words, of course, because the name Jesus means God saves. But here he says it again, saying he shall save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. He is the Savior. He's the one who takes away our sins. He's the one who dies for our sins in order that he can forgive us. Now, I want to speak simply as I can, as often as I can, for those who are novice in the scripture. But once in a while, I want to say something for those who are the scholars in our scriptures, because you deserve something too. So I'm going to speak something that many of you may not understand, but try to, and something that those who are deep into the scripture may understand. The word Yahweh, may we have that word come up on the screen, please? There is the Hebrew word Yahweh. Like Chinese, in Hebrew we read from right to left and not left to right. And these are the words. It's called the tetragrammaton. A fancy word that means the four letters, the four consonants of the letters. And when we say Yahweh, we're really spelling out the four capitals, which are, in fact, YHWH. Y stands for Yod. H is the word behold. Yod means hand, because each of the letters, not only the words are phonetic, but each letter has a corresponding number and its own meaning. So the first letter on this side that looks almost like a quotation mark is the letter Yod, which means behold or look. And the second letter, Ha, it means, pardon me, that's the wrong way around. The hand is the first one. I'm looking at it backwards when I look up there. Okay, I'll talk backwards. Yod means the hand. Ha means behold, and you see it repeated at the other end. And the letter in between the two letters hold means the nail. So literally it means the name Yahweh. Behold the hand, behold the nail, or can I translate it? Behold the nailed hand. Jesus is the one whose hands were nailed upon a cross. And someday the prophecy shall be fulfilled of Zechariah to our Jewish brothers who rejected Jesus in the early days, but on that day will recognize him, saying, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Behold the nailed hand. He is our Savior. Well, something happened this week, 100 years ago, on December 6th, that is last Wednesday. We remembered something. The greatest catastrophe that happened in Canadian history. In 1917, while the First World War was going on December 6th, there was an explosion in Halifax when two ships collided, a Norwegian vessel by the name of SS Emo and a French vessel filled with ammunition called the SS, let me see if I can get this right, the SS Mont Blanc. And they collided in Halifax Harbor. One caught fire, the munition ship. There was about 15 minutes between the fire and when it blew up. When it blew up, it had a 2.9 kiloton explosion. Oppenheimer, the father of the atomic bomb, said it was about one-third of the size of the explosion on Hiroshima. In other words, he said, what happened in Halifax was the equivalent of a small atomic bomb. It caused a tsunami 60 feet high that wiped out a First Nations village by the name of Tuff's Cove. The pressure wave bent rail, snapped trees, flattened most of the city of Halifax. The speed of the blast was 1,000 meters per second. I have seen, as a little boy, my dad pointed an anchor out in the middle of a forest area. And the anchor was from the ship. And it weighed one half a ton, and it was 2 miles away from where the ship blew up. So big was it that the speed of the shock wave, that is, how distant the shock wave went on the ground, that it could be felt in Prince Edward Island and also Cape Breton, 207 kilometers away. A horrible catastrophe. But there was a great hero that came out of it. Perhaps you know his name. His name was Vince Coleman. He was a telegraph operator near Pier 6, where the boat was moving towards as it was burning. It's said that a sailor from off of the ship was sent to the shore, swam to shore to tell people to get away, to run, because it was about to explode, and its cargo, what it was. And people began to run up Richmond Street. And he could have left too. But instead, he went to the telegraph office, and he knew that a train from St. John's, New Brunswick, was going to be there in 15 minutes. And he telegraphed, and this was his telegraph. He said, hold up the train. Ammunition ship afire in harbor making for Pier 6 will explode. guess this will be my last message. Goodbye, boys. And the train stopped not a second too late. And they were safe. Jesus is like Vince Coleman. He sacrificed his life to save the 300 others on that train. And we are like the people on the train. God loves you so much, he was willing to give himself to save you. Why does it matter? That's the third thing we learn from his name. Jesus, his name shall be because he saves us from our sins. Why does it matter? Because all of us stand in need of being saved. All have sinned, the scripture have said. All have fallen short. I can't get to heaven on my own goodness. I don't have enough. But he can forgive us. Listen to words about the power of his name. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is no salvation in anyone else. There is no one other. There is no name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Jesus said, I have come to seek to save the lost. Well, why does it matter? Because you matter. Well, who is he? Why does he came? And why does it matter? It's all wrapped up in that name. I want to leave you with the greatest verse in the Bible about the name of Jesus. And it's in Philippians, starting in chapter 2, verse 9 on. Let me read it to you. Just listen. Speaking about Jesus, he says, after his resurrection from the dead, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those in earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you know the name of Jesus? It's one thing to know the name. It's another thing to know the person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who Jesus is and what he's done. Lord, forgive us of all our sins, and may you dwell fully in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives from day to day. Amen.